If you read the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in all four Gospels, then this is what you will find among all of his disciples in the first hours and days after Christ walked out of his grave: confusion, uncertainty, incredulity, and failure to recognize a man they had known for years. All of the surviving 11 apostles, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the sister of the Blessed Mother, Salome, the mother of James and John, and the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, each and every one of them was in some way stupefied by the risen Lord. More than that, the Apostle Thomas demanded physical evidence that he could touch as a condition for accepting the truth of the resurrection. And this was despite the powerful testimony of the other apostles who had already seen the risen Lord. And since the Lord Jesus had clearly explained to all of these people on several occasions that he would be killed and would then rise from the dead, we must wonder, why did they all find it so difficult to accept what they were seeing? But who can blame them? Never before or since that blessed day has anything like the resurrection occurred on this earth. And so it is no surprise that men and women today are skeptical of our claim that Christ's tomb has been empty since 3 days after his death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a singular event in human history, indeed, in all of cosmic history, and it is the pivot on which all of time turns. After the risen Christ first appeared to his disciples, it would take another 50 days for them to understand fully and be changed permanently by his resurrection. And even then, they were not yet ready to bear witness to others that Jesus Christ is Lord. That would require the Pentecostal fire of the Holy Spirit, the final gift of the risen Lord to his new church. But once that fire had been received, then all of the disciples would be sent as martyrs, as witnesses to the truth and the power and the glory of the new life of grace revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, the resurrection was staggering news then. It is staggering news now. And always and everywhere, it is good news. The eternal Word of God, who became flesh in the womb of a virgin, suffered and died to redeem the human race from the grave, and then rose victorious over sin and death to reveal to all nations the truth of the Father's eternal plan of salvation. Namely, we were not made for death. We were not made for the grave. We were made for perfect beatitude in the unbounded glory of divine love. We were made to live eternally in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity. And what the human race lost in our rebellion against the Creator has now been restored by the obedience unto death, even death on a cross, of the risen one, whose name is above every other name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is what Christianity is. Not a set of rules to be kept in the vain hope that we can join the club. Not a list of doctrines to be memorized so that we can pass the test. No, to be a Christian is first and finally to be a friend of the Lord Jesus, and to live according to his gospel, because we have come to love him who first loved us and chose us to be instruments of his grace for others, so that they will know both why they exist and how they can find happiness in holiness now and forevermore. And once we have become friends of Christ by grace through faith, hope, and love, then we will want to live joyfully according to the saving doctrine and the eternal moral law, which the Lord Jesus still teaches us in his holy church. Like the apostles and all the others who beheld the risen Lord, we have been made witnesses to the resurrection by our baptism, and we have been sent to everyone we meet to introduce them to the Lord Jesus and invite them to become friends of Christ. This we do by teaching them everything he commanded us and by showing them his law of love, revealed in the sacraments of divine worship, in the service of those in need, in the study of Holy Scripture, and in the way of prayer given to us by the Messiah. Of course, anyone who has ever attempted to live this way knows how hard it is and how often we fail. But even in our sins, we find from him only mercy. Every time we go to confession, the grace of our baptism is made new. And every time we go to Mass and worthily receive the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are nourished unto everlasting life and strengthened to fulfill the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. And that is why the renewal of our baptismal promises is at the center of Mass on this Easter Sunday of the Lord's resurrection. At our baptism, Jesus Christ called us each by name to follow him in the way of the cross. At our baptism, we died with Christ so that on the last day we could rise with him. At our baptism, we were born again by water and the Holy Spirit so that we could be nourished every Sunday by the Most Holy Eucharist and live every day the life of the new creation by grace through faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through his gospel. Christos Anesti. Alithos Anesti. Christ is risen. Truly he is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia.